What's going on, guys? Angel Talamantes, Click Leads Local.
And Troy Thompson, Pinnacle Insurance of Minnesota.
Today's episode was produced by Click Leads Local, Minneapolis's premier video and digital marketing agency. Now, live from the Pinnacle Insurance Agency of Minnesota studio with your hosts, Angel Talamantes and Troy Thompson.
This is season two. This is the start of the Local Real Estate Spotlight Podcast. And we have Mike Hall on today. Troy, with the intro.
Mike Hall with the Hancock Group. He's a true professional, true real estate stud. And he's just been crushing it for many, many years. Married with a beautiful young daughter. And life is good, Mike. And we just want you to... We caught Mike in the middle of showing houses today, but he was gracious enough to tell his buyers just to relax and go get a hamburger, and he's going to just do a podcast real quick. But Mike, what's your story, bro?
Man, what do you want, the start, or do you want where we're at?
Well, we don't want to bore people too much with your story, to be honest. Let's give us the Cliff Notes version.
How did you get into real estate?
I'll give you that shortened note. So I think it's been about 7-8 years now. Brother, sister, we all moved down to the Southwest metro area here in the Twin Cities and started selling real estate. It was kind of in the flux of other ventures, but went into real estate and super fast got really, really good at it. And over the last 7 years, we've just, you know, captured tons of market share as we've grown and just excelled through it. So that's kind of where we're at today. You know, I think we're what, one or two in RE/MAX within the, you know, within the state. We've got a small team. So we're just, you know, it's five of us and we're all just high producers. So if we're not spread out over 100 agents competing up there, we're doing that on a level that other people aren't.
Awesome. And you're actually number, I think it was number two on Real Trends. Remember I told you about that? I know it's not a big deal for you guys, but it is a big deal. And people look at that kind of stuff all the time. So number two in the state is something to be proud of.
I actually looked into that. I think it's teams under 20. So that's where we're competing in, is in there. And so I think it was like 5 to 20. So we're on the lower end of that, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. And you're number two in the entire state, right? Of Minnesota. Yep.
Mike, what do you think makes you be, you know, being number two in Minnesota? What are some of the qualities that you think that you have that make you a great real estate agent?
Man, more than anything, we're just relentless with all that we do, you know? And I mean that in terms of our process and the way that we serve our clients. It's just a nonstop pressing forward. So I feel like we're kind of on the, always on the cusp of what's the new things that are happening within the marketplace, whether that be video, whether that be some sort of online, you know, marketing or advertising. We're always pushing that boundary forward, and that's kind of kept us, you know, competitive in the marketplace.
So you try to stay one step ahead of everyone else, so to speak?
Not even necessarily. We're just always uncovering ways that we can better serve our clients, right? We learned a long time ago, if you're working towards for yourself, doesn't work. But if I'm constantly like racking my brain on how we can make our process better, how we can market our listings better, how do we become more successful with our buyers over time? People are just gravitated towards that. So just a relentless pursuit of our client experience.
I love that. You know what I noticed about you, Mike? You're not talking about me. You're not saying I, you're saying we. As in the Hancock Group, correct?
Yeah, man. I mean, we're a real tight-knit, you know, group of people that are just kind of, when we talk, we're talking about what we're doing better. You know, the hurdles that we're that our consumers are facing that and how we're overcoming them.
Okay. So one step ahead, you're using technology. I mean, one of the things I notice a lot with social is video. You're crushing the video. You have some amazing videos out there. Is that something that was easy for you to get into? You seem like you're a natural at it. Are there a lot of takes involved with those videos?
Man, there's not many people that are natural at anything. You know what I mean? It's so easy to look at people that are good today and just be like, oh, they've got something, or they just that, or they just that, or they were born into this or that, man. Yeah, no, there's takes, you know, everything is, like I said, we just get better and better over time, but we're getting quicker at it. I think the last ones I've done, we're only doing 2 or 3 takes on some of my lines, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's something that sets yourself apart, because it is so frustrating when you're looking online at houses and you see these terrible pictures that, you know, the listing agent probably is not doing anything for their client to separate themselves, right? And they're not being served very well.
What's so cool about video, I guess I'll explain the problem that we're overcoming with that. It's not necessarily about anything other than what's cool about the video is I get to do an intro. People don't buy houses for the house, right? They buy it for the community and what's surrounding it and what comes with it. And photos can only do so much, but a video and what we do, you know, way that we can have our camera guy, you know, peel up and do nice drone shots, and you can point out the features that actually are wrapped around that house and not necessarily just a pretty, you know, fireplace or a kitchen. You know, it's the beach is right down there. You know, the convenience stores are right down there. There's nice shopping, all that kind of stuff. That's why people buy houses. So that's the problem that video is solving.
I did notice that about your videos. Now that you bring it up, there's a whole strategy behind that, right?
Yeah.
Let's get into the deep stuff, though. Let's get into the deep stuff.
Let's go deep.
So if we gave you $100,000 to invest, how would you use it in your business?
So am I doing it specifically for real estate business, or am I doing this for like my personal, what I would do?
Real estate.
Yep, to build your real estate business.
Okay. And is it where I'm at today, or where somebody's at from starting or from scratch or anything like that? Or do you want
to? That's another question we're going to have you unpack here in a minute. But let's just start with where you are today. What would you spend that $100K on?
So today, I'd probably, honestly, I'd probably find another. We're big on leverage, right? So we have this team of really high performing. Administrative team, and we take care of them really well. So we probably find that's probably where I'd put that money to work today. Is that I'd probably start hunting for another person that would help us refine our process more that way. Because you know, the more hands, the more people we have that are working towards the common goal, the more successful we are in serving our buyer pool. I think we're spending as much money we can on advertising, and we're handling that well. But yeah, I think I'd probably go after personnel, you know, to expand that back-end support group to really level up our client experience a little bit more.
That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
That's huge. So let's go to what in your life have you failed at, Mike, and what's the lesson you learned from it?
Dude, I fail at everything, constantly. The biggest things that I've failed at in real estate is I guess I'll tell you the first thing that comes to my head is that when I was first entering my career, I was missing appointments specifically because I didn't have a calendar well wrapped around. So I used that experience, and you know, and those are big failures, man. You miss a listing appointment, we're talking about $20K, you know, right out the window, done. And you do it two or three times, and that's a pretty good salary. So that's probably my biggest mistake, is doing that. And now I'm an absolute on the ball, wrapped in with my business, my family, everything is just meticulous calendar to solve that problem.
What calendar do you use?
So I use Google, just because I think it integrates really well with everything. So everything is there, and man, that's how you can scale in this business, is having a meticulous calendar. You don't miss things, and you're there when you need to be.
Yes. Now, Mike, so now we're going to get back to the beginner. So if you were to start over at the beginning, what would you do different in your first 90 days?
I wouldn't be as lazy, because that's huge. And lazy kind of comes in different forms, right? It's that back of your brain telling you reasons why not, right? And that in turn, so I think laziness is a symptom of self-doubt most of the time. So just pushing through those barriers, like Troy says, you know, we door knock once in a while together. The hardest door to open is your car door, right? So just open the door, just make the phone call, and just go hit the ground running and stop making excuses, because everybody who is high flying right now was once in your shoes, and they pushed through those barriers. The lie that we tell ourselves all the time is you know, the reason why somebody's there and why you can't be there, instead of telling yourself why you can be there.
That's a good answer. So what was the switch that was flipped for you to be more motivated? Per se.
So it took me about 2 years of my career, and I'd watch my brother-in-law Jay. we started at the same spot, and I'm ascending slightly, but I'm watching him just rocket, right? And I was telling myself all those things, but I woke up one day and I realized that it had nothing to do with all the reasons that I had in my head. I just realized that Jay was outworking me, period, right? Mm-hmm. There was nothing special about his process. There was nothing, anything, like, he was just flat out outworking me. And that's when the switch flipped, and I went from, you know, selling 20 houses a year to, you know, 60, consecutively over the next couple of years. It was just that switching of, if you want something, you have to work for it.
Mm. Well, that is a superpower. I mean, hard work is everything, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And Jay is kind of the one that started the brokerage.
Sam was the first one, and then Jay and I kind of joined her a couple of years into it. We started with the same exact platform, you know, and now I'm chasing them, you know, because I set myself back in those first 2 years. But it's nice to have somebody to chase, though, too.
I like it. So do you generate your own leads, or is that kind of all a team effort? And how do you do so well and generate so much activity in business?
So my business model is, and honestly, I've been having to, like, let some stuff go, even though I don't want to, just because we're getting so busy. But my business model between, you know, beginning and now has just been, we just do everything and we do it at a high level, right? So I love doing open houses. We're extremely good on internet leads. I mean, that's where a lot of our market share came from originally. We door knock, we do Facebook, we do Instagram. We basically just hit all the things that work, and we hit them hard and consistently. And then this year, go ahead.
I was just going to say, everybody buys internet leads. So what do you guys do? What is your secret sauce to close these leads when the other agent down the road isn't successful at those?
I don't get in the way of what the consumer is looking for. And this is a nugget that, I mean, it's huge. They need to sign a buyer rep. We have to do this first, or I'm not going to show you houses until you do X, Y, or Z. Man, it's the consumer's calling. And when you get them on the phone, they want to know about, you know, three primary things. They want to know what the market's doing. They want to know how much their house is worth, what the house they should fix it, or they want to go look at some houses, right? So serve them in the way that they want and not the way that you want, and then build that relationship.
Okay. So you're not making them sign anything. You're not laying out the
I of course want, you know, yeah, representation agreements over time, but I don't want that to get in the way of serving them well. Right. Mm-hmm. So when they decide to step forward with me in my process, I want it to be a mutual thing. I don't want it to be, yeah, I need to sign this to do X, Y, and Z. I want to sign this and move forward with this guy because we want to do this process with them.
Are you guys looking to grow your team, Mike?
I think we always are, you know, what that looks like. I don't know. But yes.
I imagine you have some people out there that would like to join, but I'm guessing you're pretty selective.
We're highly selective now. You know, we've made mistakes in the past of not finding people who are equally yoked with what our team is working towards. And that's just bit us in the pants. So we're finding people who want to not just be comfortable. We're looking for the people who are looking to push the boundaries of what we can deal with in this career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so tough. That's tough to find.
Mike, in the last 4 months, we've had a lot of stuff going on, obviously, with social say, we're going to call it Rona, so we don't get tagged up and hauled that with Rona and everything.
Protests
and everything. Yep. How has that changed real estate in the last 90 days to 6 months? I'm curious.
So the real estate is really, our business model has been the same, right? We're serving our clients in the way that they want to do that. So there's some people who don't want to buy or sell houses, so we've respected that. And there's other people who just want to know how, right? So what we're doing is we're interacting with those, finding out where they're at in that process. And from our experience, it's most people have wanted to make a step forward. They just don't understand how that actually happens. So what we're doing is we're just not doing overlapping showings. So we're still showing houses, buyers are over there, but we're not doing these large groups of showings. So everything is private. And then listings, we're really trying to do a lot of front loaded prep work so that my sellers can, you know, leave for a week and not be within the hustle and bustle and hopefully be done by the end of the weekend. Those are the two main things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. From a deeper level, we've been really trying to just focus in on our past client and our sphere this year, and just make those connections while everybody's sitting at their computers, you know, on quarantine and whatnot.
Are any of these changes that we're seeing right now, just for example, from your systems, are there some things that are going to stay after this little process? Has there been anything that you've seen now that made the system more efficient prior to Rona and protests and everything that you guys are going to keep going on for the future?
Did you hear that, Mike?
Cool. Yes, I think I had the gist of it. The one piece that we're kind of doing differently is, and I've gone back and forth in this, and I'm pretty settled on which way I'm going to move forward, but man, I love Zoom calls.
Damn it. Audio. There we go.
Sorry.
That's all right. You love Zoom calls.
Zoom calls are great. They're a great way to connect with clients, and where they fall into place is that I wasn't sure if this was serving our clients well, because we used to do a lot of in-person meetings face-to-face. But where it's really helping is busy family with kids and all that kind of stuff, where they don't have to get a babysitter and come to my office at, 6 o'clock at night and chunk out 3 hours. You know, we can catch them for 15, 20 minutes in between bedtime, and just make that connection and not be intrusive, because people want to buy houses, but they don't want it to completely destroy their life. So I really like it from that perspective.
Hmm. Yeah. What is going on, Mike, that we can help you with? Anything out there that you can think of that I can personally help you with? Or how about the people listening to this? You know, what are you looking for? How can they contact you even to potentially work with you?
Man, you text me, email me. My phone number out right now?
Yeah, man. You're a realtor.
3099. PM me, but I mean, you Google my name, Mike Hall, you'll find me, and you'll be able to do all your due diligence on it, and everything's there.
What if I'm a new realtor in the game and want to work with a power team? Should I just reach out to Mike Hall, or is there a process?
Man, I think that's the best way to get started in this business, to be honest with you, is to work under somebody else, and do it the way that they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're actively
looking onboarding. We are always looking for assistance, right? That's our new onboarding system. And the way that we're going to do it is that we're not going to just put new agents out in the field with our consumers. They're going to come alongside of us. So if we add them, there's going to be, a pretty significant process of, coaching and mentoring, because these are, we have a lot of part-time agents in the field right now, right? And it really minimizes the significance of this transaction. But this is huge. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in people's lives. And I don't think that's something that a part-time agent can do well. It's just, it's really, really dangerous. So we're not going to put those out anymore.
And what an opportunity to come in and learn from you guys. I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of education that you're giving to people to come in and be assistants. They should work for you guys for free.
Yeah, man. No, we take care of them really, really well, and they get brought into it really gives them an idea of, how we operate and how we move forward, and we find out if we're each other's people pretty quickly.
That's awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Hall, the Hancock Group, Google him, look him up. They are literally the number two team in the entire state of Minnesota with under 20 employees or something. And you're like right around 20. 5 employees, right?
Yeah, we got 5, yep.
Which is unbelievable. Man, I mean, you guys are just rocking it, man, and you're so impressive.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. For having me on, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Awesome, guys. Angel Talamantes, Click Leads Local.
And Troy Thompson, Pinnacle Insurance.
Episode 1, Season 2.
In the books.
In the books. Mike Hall, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys. Bye bye. That was good, right?
It was great. You're natural. Yeah.
That was fun.
You're a beast.
Yep. Good.
I wanted to bring up that house, that open house I went by on Sunday, just to say, how long was that on the market?
We made it a day.
One day.
Which honestly is a little bit too, that was a weird one. I thought we were going to go through the weekend, but we went through 20 showings and only had one offer. And we were just like, we got to go with this, you guys, because we should have had 5. So we just signed it. Nice cash offer. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's inventory? Is inventory still kind of low?
It's brutal. We just looked anything in the, and this is just the extreme of it. Anything in the luxury bracket, 700K over, we're down 20%, which is freaking insane.
That is.
Yeah. I think we're sub 10,000 total homes for sale.
Jeez.
And aren't the luxury homes, though, aren't they on the market longer?
No, man. I've been – so I put 2 houses under contract above 700,000 in the last 2 weeks, both in multiple offers. Wow. One of them had 4, and the other one we had to – we battled one other. It's crazy.
It's all part of your marketing, though, too, right? The typical agents
just lost. Do that. it's just crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that we were, Jay just lost one up in your neck of the woods, seven figures in multiples. It's just crazy.
What do you mean lost one?
Seven figure purchase and lost it in multiple offers.
Okay, he had a buyer.
Yep. Wow. But I mean, we just didn't see that. Those are the ones where you negotiate 50-70K off. You know, you don't battle for it. Mm-hmm. You can't battle
crazy
for it.
Crazy times, crazy times, my friend.
That's gnarly, man. Yep.
I appreciate you, Mike.
Yep. Thanks,
Have
guys.
Have a good day, brother.
Take care, Mike.
See ya. Bye-bye. All right.